This evening I'm using for a subject, the Lordship of Christ. The text comes from the book of Philippians. Philippians, second chapter, verses 9, 10, and 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is my prayer that before this service is over, every person here will be completely committed to Christ. Everyone here will know Christ as your personal Savior. And in your own life, you acknowledge Him as your Lord. You know, you can get people to come forward and for the time being say that I've accepted the Lord as my Savior, but for some reason they don't follow through. Some people are like a clock that you have to shake to make it run. You shake it and it run a while and stop. If you want it to run more, you shake it. Turn it over on its face. It's a shame-faced clock. Now, who wants to sit up all night shaking the clock to make it run? If you take it to the repairman, he'll tell you that that clock is not going to run properly until you get the mainspring replaced. And I say that about a lot of people with their names on the church roll. They're just not going to serve properly until they get the mainspring replaced, and that is that they'll be born again. And then there are some who will serve, but they murmur and they whine and complain. They would have others to believe that if it were not for me, the whole thing would fall apart. Well, I've come to tell you that the church is here to stay. The church is not going to fall apart. You may break down. You see, there was a clock that had a nervous breakdown. The clock was up on the shelf ticking like any other self-respecting clock, 2 ticks per second. And he got to thinking, poor me, I have to tick so much. I have to tick 2 ticks per second, that's 120 ticks per minute. At 7,200 ticks per hour, that's 173,800 ticks per day, that's 1,209,600 ticks per week. At 62,899,203 ticks per year, and about that time, he collapsed and had a nervous breakdown. His friends picked him up, rushed him to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist patched up the mainspring as best he could and put him over on the couch and said, talk to me, tell me, what's troubling you? He said, well, I have to tick so much. I have to tick 2 ticks per second. That's 120 ticks per minute. That's 7,200 ticks per hour. The psychiatrist said, hold it. He said, how many ticks do you have to tick at one time? He said, I don't have to tick but 1 tick at one time. He said, all right, you go home, you get on that chef, and don't you think about ticking the next tick until you get that first tick tick. And the clock is still ticking after 20 years. But the individual who is really committed to Christ is going to keep moving, he's going to keep serving, irrespective of what happens. Our problem is getting people who are genuinely committed to Him. God has given Christ a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now the hinges of human history have turned by the strength of the insignificant man who has linked his life with the Lordship of Christ. Rivers of civilization have cut new courses because of the courage of men who have come under the loving Lordship of Jesus. But you know, the question is being asked today, is this topic relevant? What is in it for us in our kind of a day? Well, for the lost, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the municipality, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. For the nation, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. For those who claim to be committed, acknowledgement of Christ's authority must be accompanied by absolute obedience to his commandment. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There are four classes of men who may be described by their relationship to the Lord. One, those who neither call him Lord nor do the things which he says. Two, those who call him Lord but do not the things which he says. Three, those who do not call him Lord but do the things which he says. Four, those who both call him Lord and do the things which he says. Now, Lord is not a word to be taken upon our lips lightly and glibly, meaninglessly. It is a title which must be taken upon our lips with godly fear. We can see what Jesus meant when he said, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Everyone is mastered by someone or something. Christ alone deserves first place. We need a strength stronger than ourselves. We need a strength strong enough to help us to stand the stresses and the strains of our struggles. And the only rightful Lord of our lives is Jesus Christ. Now, in order for him to be the Prince of Peace, a coronation service must take place. You must crown him king in your own heart. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now these are the words of that man who walked all over the pagan world, turned every house into a chapel and every street corner into a pulpit to proclaim the Lordship of Christ. He lit the lamp of the gospel even in Caesar's household. He disturbed a nest of eagles and sent them screaming across the Roman sky. He honeycombed the land with a Christian church and then sat in Nero's cell in chains and conquered Rome by writing letters. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul penned the arresting announcement that God has given Christ a name that's above every name. And he envisions the time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul declared that Jesus has the unqualified supremacy. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is the head of the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. In all things, he has the preeminence. He precedes all others in his priority. He exceeds all others in his superiority, and he succeeds all others in his finality. He is the master of the mighty. He is the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. Now, in his letter to the Romans, Paul declared that we all belong to Christ and are responsible ultimately to him for everything that we do. We live unto the Lord, and when we die unto the Lord. Yea, the great end for which Christ lived and died and lived again for always is that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, the word Lord means having power or authority. The Great Commission is based on the claims of our Savior's Lordship. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lord means ownership. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. You see, God made the house in which man is to dwell. He stepped back into the archives of eternity and then unrolled the blueprints to the foundation of this world. He hitched it on nothing and fastened it by his word. He made the sun as a spark from the brilliance of his face. He made the winds from his breath and gave them headquarters in the four corners of the earth. The great God Almighty shot the stars as a million skyrockets against the bosom of the black. And he scattered fleecy white clouds against the bosom of the blue. He dug deep the gorges. He piled up the hills and propped up the mountains by his will. The moon and the stars lean on his arm. He caused the heavens to weep, and the seas and rivers became full. Creeping and crawling creatures begin to move. Animals nibble wet green grass on the hillside. Not only did he make it, but he made it, and everything that he made was good. He made it without a defect in the design, without a flaw in the finish, without a grain of grit in the mechanism, and not without a tremor in the movement. Not only did he make it, but he keeps it in perfect control. You see, as I move about in this world, I find men standing in their shaky boots. They're thinking that some trigger-happy fella is going to fire his rifle in the ammunition dump and blow up this world. That's not so. This world is in God's hand. Or young people say, Pastor, go ahead and give us something that we can relate to. You talking that kind of talk. Talk some talk that we can dig. I said, all right. When God gets good and ready, he's coming lying down as the architect of this universe, with a big bunch of keys in his hand, and he's going to look modern man in the face and say, gentlemen, it's closing time. You see, when the God gets ready, when he gets good and ready, he's going to bring things to a halt. You see, he supplies every vitamin for the body, every brain cell for the mind, and every light ray for the soul. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. And his lordship is based on his ownership. He made it. He owns it. He keeps it. Now, he didn't have to put his signature in the corner of a sunrise. He's not going to get his sunrise mixed up with anybody else's. He's the owner. He didn't have to put a laundry mark in the lapel of a meadow. He's the owner. He didn't have to carve his initials in the side of the mountain. He's the owner. He didn't have to put a brand on the cattle of 1,000 hills. He's the owner. He didn't even have to take out a copyright on the songs that he gives the birds to sing. He's the owner. Beyond the human level, the word Lord stands as a reverent allusion to God. The Orthodox Hebrew in Jesus' day, as in our own, would not even pronounce the sacred name Jehovah, God of Yahweh. Instead, when he read the sacred and incommunicable name of God, he would simply say, the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, Christians have applied this title to Christ in the latter usage. On either the human or divine level, the title Lord stands as a mark of respect, an implied pledge of obedience. Once Simon Peter stood before a hostile crowd and said, God has made that same Jesus whom ye've crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, Christ represents the thing that God has done to redeem us. Lord represents the things that we ought to do because we are redeemed. We ought to call him Master and be obedient servants to him. We ought to call him Owner because he possesses absolutely our lives. In him we live and move and have our being. We ought to call him Father and be obedient sons and daughters, for he's our only hope and he's our only help. God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore shall not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder and burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Jesus is Lord because he came down the stairway of heaven, born in Bethlehem, here in Egypt, brought up in Nazareth, baptized in Jordan, tempted in the wilderness. He performed miracles by the roadside. He healed multitudes without medicine and made no charges for his service. He conquered everything that came up against him. He took your sins and mine and went out on Calvary and there died. While on that cross, Jesus said several things. But when the thief taunted him and said, if you be the Christ, come down from the cross and save yourself and us. To that taunt, Jesus never said a mumbling word. But the silence seemed to have said, you just wait until Sunday morning, And I'll show you it's better to come up out of a grave than it is to come down from a cross. And he dropped his head in the locks of his shoulder and he died. He really died. I don't pay attention to these swoon theory people talking about he just swooned. No, he died. His enemies say he died. The centurion said, surely he must have been the Son of God. His friends said he died. Joseph begged his body. He died. Matthew said that the dead got up out of the grave and walked the streets after his resurrection. He died. But I don't like to stay there talking about he died. I like to rush on and said he was buried in Joseph's new tomb. Now that used to bother me. He who holds the wealth of the world in his hand, who meets out the heavens with a span, who comprehends the dust and weighs the mountains and the scale and the hill in the balance, and here he is being buried in a borrowed tomb. Well, he wasn't going to stay there long, so a temporary tomb would suffice. He just went down in the grave and stayed there long enough to clean out the grave and make it a pleasant place to wait for the resurrection. And on schedule, he got up with every form of power in the orbit of his omnipotence. Jesus Christ is Lord. Men have been waiting. Maybe his power is going to fail him. Or maybe somebody will wrestle his power from him. Or eventually, somebody would destroy his power. Well, if you're going to destroy his power, let me ask you something, brother. What are you going to use for power? If you try to destroy him by fire, he'll refuse to burn. If you try to destroy him by water, he'll walk on the water. If you try to destroy him by a strong wind, the tempest will lick his hand and lay down at his feet. If you try to destroy him by law, you'll find no fault in him. If you try to destroy him by the seal of an empire, he'll break it. If you try to destroy him by putting him in a grave, he'll rise. If you try to destroy him by rejecting him or ignoring him, soon you'll hear a still small voice saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If a man will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the pearl from paradise. He's the gem from the glory land. He's truth's fairest jewel, and he's time's choicest theme. He's life's strongest chord, and he's light's clearest ray. He's purity's whitest peak, and he's joy's deepest tide. He's glory's stateless summit. His name stands as a synonym for free healing, friendly help, and full salvation. His blessed name is like honey to the taste. It's like harmony to the ear. It's like health to the soul. It's like hope to the heart. He is higher than the heavens of heavens, and he's holier than the holy of holies. In his birth is our significance. In his life is our example. In his cross is our redemption. And in his resurrection is our hope. At his birth, men came from the east. And at his death, men came from the west. And the east and the west met in him. Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And at his name, to his name, in his name, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just don't let it be said too late. You know, there are people who say, I'm going to accept him as my Savior. I'll acknowledge him as Lord, but I've got a lot of living to do. Let me tell you something. You don't really live until you come to him who said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You don't come to him. You don't live until you come to him. And then I hear some praying, Lord, when I must go somewhere, and when I must crawl up in a dying bed and learn how to die, who told you you were going anywhere else? And who told you you were going to have the strength or the time to crawl up in a dying bed? And who told you you were going to have to learn how to die? You don't have to learn how to die, brother. Dying's going to take care of itself. You learn how to live. And as you live, so you die. Oh, I'm not going to wait. I acknowledge him as Savior now. Borderline salvation is better than being lost, but that's too dangerous to rest. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And he will have mercy to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek him now. Now is all we have. You know, we are hung up between the no longer and the not yet. What has been is no longer, and what's going to be is not yet. So all we have is now. Seek the Lord now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt have no pleasure in them. And somebody thinks that that scripture is just for the teenagers. But no, it's for every one of us, irrespective of age. You're younger now than you're going to ever be again. So remember now thy Creator. Come to him now. I confess him now. I fear him because of his power. I trust him because of his wisdom. I love him because of his goodness. I praise him because of his greatness. I believe in him because of his faithfulness. I adore him because of his holiness. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord, I tell you. He's Lord. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Isaiah said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall carry, gently lead those who are with the young. And then John talked about him as the good shepherd. Paul referred to him as the great shepherd. Peter spoke about him as the chief shepherd, but I like to call him my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A little girl was asked to recite this verse, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." They said she was wrong. I said she's right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, this old world is a wilderness of want. We are always wanting something. A man will break his health down trying to get wealth, and then he has to turn around and spend his wealth trying to get his health back. If it isn't one thing, it's another. If your bank account gets low, then your blood pressure gets high. If you've got money, your health breaks down. If you've got a job, your eyesight gets dim. If you've got food on your table, your faith gets weak. If it's not your enemies bothering you, it's your so-called friends. If it's not your kinfolk mooching off of you, it's your church folk. While you're building up over here, it's falling apart over there. But the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. I shall not want for rest, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment, for he leadeth me beside the still waters. I shall not want for forgiveness, for he restoreth my soul. I shall not want for guidance, for he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not want for comfort, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want for sustenance or provision, for thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not want for joy, for thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I shall not want for anything in this life, for goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not want for anything in the life to come, for I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I didn't say I'll camp, a tent, a tabernacle, but I'll dwell in a house not made with hand. I'll dwell in a land where we'll never grow old. Dwell out there where the silence of eternity is interpreted by love. Dwell in the sun-kissed regions of an unclouded day. dwell in a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. I'll dwell in a house not made with hand. I'll dwell where the Lord is. Oh, I get excited when I get to thinking about dwelling where the Lord is. You say, all right, don't go to shouting now. But I can't help it. Just the prospect of being with the Lord, dwelling where he is, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. You know, if you've made your reservation, you're excited. Oh, and let me tell you, we're just having a rehearsal here. And look, if you're not going to act right in the rehearsal, you're not going to be in the performance. When we get over there, don't expect us to be quiet. There's going to be shouting. There's going to be noise. Okay, down in Southwestern Seminary, they taught me how to stand in one track. They taught me how to hold my Bible. They taught me how to gesture and make to emphasize certain points. They even taught me how to regulate and modulate my voice so it wouldn't be so loud and obnoxious. And you know, I passed the course. But when I get to thinking about Jesus who saved me, and then when this life is over, I'm going home to be with him, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, I can't help but get loud. And if you think I'm shouting now, you just wait. You just wait until my feet strike Zion. You just wait until I behold his face. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he your Lord? If he's not, then he will be right now. If you'll allow him to. You can come to him. Without money, come to him without price. Come to him as you are, receive him as he is, his grace will save. Oh, I'm a witness. If you come to him, he'll walk with you and talk with you and tell you that you're his own. Come now. Receive the Lord as your Savior. Acknowledge him as your Lord.